there. I think I got all the toys set. Okay, the first thing I want to do is this one that says a starting point for thought and discussion. And this is just kind of some things that other classes have come up with as to what you need to do when you're considering and what they like in a web page and what they don't like. So web design has three parts: the information, the interaction, and the presentation. So you basically have to be sure that you're providing information that the user wants. Interaction lets the user go back and forth between maybe requesting things and things like that. And presentation is how it looks. And that's not something we get into a lot in this class. This class is really designed to be talking about how to put the page together and how to put it up there and not how to make it look good. There are other classes that get into that. And I definitely don't teach those classes because the design is not my strong suit. You want to think about the message that you want to get through, the purpose for making the page, how easy it is to navigate. Did the designer of the site think about those things? And worry about that sort of stuff when you're making a page. Does the site convey the message? Does it have a good idea of the audience that it wants to attract? So all those things are really about thinking about who you want to attract. If you're making a kid's site, it's going to be very different in look than as if you're making an adult site. You know, the level of how you express information on a kid's site, for one thing, has to be different than the level of which you can express information on a site intended for adults. And so you have to think about the scope and the purpose and that sort of thing. And you have to think about the navigation. One of my pet peeves is if there's not a way to get back home on every page. You know, I'd like to have a way of getting back home. And if I, especially if I click on something and it takes me into the middle of a page, then I want a middle of, not a page, but a middle of a site. It takes me into a page on the site, but not the opening page. I want something that will take me back to the opening page of that site so that I can see where the site started. If I'm going to a company, one of my pet peeves is I'm looking for an address and a phone number. If I'm going to a site, especially if I'm going to go and buy something, I want to be able to know who it is and how I get in touch with them if I have a problem. So I want that information on there and readily available. I also like to know the last time the site was updated. Okay, so that's another thing that I like to see on a site is the date come up for the last time the site was updated, so I know whether it's out of date or not. Is it easy to retrace your steps or get lost? That's one I talked about a minute ago. Loading quickly, different people have different patience levels, but if it doesn't load fairly quickly, a lot of people are going to leave. Is the content and is the site worth revisiting? If I'm trying to put up a site that I want people to come back to, then I need to change the content periodically. And if I want them to come back once a week, then I've got to have a way to talk them into coming back once a week, which might be the promise of new information, the promise of that I'm going to put some new links up to other things, sites that they might find. I've seen some sites that lure you back with a, you know, I'm going to give a 5% discount next week, and all of those kinds of things. Is it too crowded or busy and too confusing? When you have 10,000 things that you can print out or click on up there, then you just get confused and you lose track of things. Is white space used effectively? Can you tell the difference between underlining and links? That's one of my other pet peeves, is links are underlined. So underlining, is that a link or is it not? Is color used effectively? For some reason, people really like black and dark blue. And I, for one, find it very difficult to read dark blue on black or black on dark blue. I just find those two. So is the color used effectively? If I have to highlight what you put on the page with my cursor in order to see it in white so that I can read it, then that's not a well-designed site. Is it too cute? Advertising, and how is the advertising done? Is this a free site that is putting up a lot of advertising and I'm being deluged with that? Is there a lot of irrelevant stuff? Are the links active? Is there too much text? Unfortunately, people have gotten to the point that they don't like to read a whole page of text. So I don't know how you handle that well when you have a lot of information to convey, but maybe you have them click to go on or whatever. And we've gotten that way. I mean, even in emails, I notice that if somebody sends me a long email, I kind of scan it as opposed to reading it. And I'm not sure that I always did that, whether the internet has got me to that point or not, but I do. And also, if you go out, you have to decide. If you send people to a place outside your site, do you want them to come back? Do you want to make it easy for them to come back, so leave your tab still up there? Or do you want to not have that? So those are some of the things that other classes have thought of. Any comments or thoughts on yours? What you like, what you dislike? What makes you go back to a website? What makes you say, never again? Anybody got any thoughts?
I don't know.
What makes you go to a website? Or go back to a website?
If it's entertaining, if it looks nice.
Okay. Do you want it to change?
Or
are you willing to have it stay the same every time you go back?
I don't know. Depends on what it is. Like, if it's like a website that I'm like using to recall information, I don't really mind if it changes. If it's
okay.
Just information that I'm trying to find.
Okay. Anybody else got any thoughts as to what they find good in a web page and what they don't? Because as you're making your web page, you should make it one that you would go to. Okay, so you want to kind of think about what to put on your page and how to make your page attractive. And toward the end of the semester, we'll talk more about how to attract people to your page, and I'll have you do some reading on that. But right now, we're just talking about how to make a page that is appealing, that people will come back to, that they won't say, ugh. Well, as I said, those are some things that I've gathered from other classes, and maybe they stole all your points, but because it's a fairly good collection of kind of things to consider. Okay. The next thing is, this is an old site, but I find it helpful, and it kind of explains a few things that I think are worth explaining. I'm going to look down and see. Nope, they don't put a date on it, so I don't know where it is. But I've used this site for a while because I give some kind of brief explanations of some of the things that I want you to understand. And you can go over. I'm going to kind of hit some highlights, but it's a good site for you to go over and kind of look at things. First of all, there's a document tree. When you make a page, you make a document tree. And this is what I was talking about when I gave you the assignment to write a web page. And one of it says is give me a map of the page. And this is kind of sort of what I mean by map, but this is a much more detailed map. I don't want a map. This is a map of a page. I don't want a map of the page. I want a map of the site. So you would put at the top there, you know, the home page. And then if you had a link to two different pages, you'd put those in. If you had three different pages, you'd put that in. And then if one of your pages linked to two other pages, you'd put it like that. So that's the kind of map that I was talking about, although there are other ways to do it. But this is the map of a particular page. A map of your site is a little different because then those boxes become your different pages. So if you have five different pages at your site, then you would map it so that you can see which page leads to what other pages and that sort of thing. And that gives a map of your site. Okay? This is a map of a page. So they're saying on this page, I have a division, okay? I have a division and I have a second division. So I have two divisions. The first division includes a header and a bunch of paragraphs, okay? The second division includes a list. And they say it's a UL list, and they tell you the list items that you're going to put on it. So that's a map of the page. Okay? The top part of that is called the ancestor. So ancestor is the main thing up there at the top. So that's the ancestor. And then they get into what's a descendant, and a descendant is the things that come under. So they get into this definition of a tree, the things that come under that particular division, the descendants of it. And then parent and child are that relationship. Okay, child as a parent, and the child also can become a parent, so child has a parent, but this also can become a parent to these children. So everything that is above is essentially a parent, everything that is below is a child, and a field can be both a parent and a child. And a sibling is, those are all siblings. So it very much is like what you're used to in a family tree, and they take this, and you'll find sometimes when you read about things that they will talk about parent and child and sibling, especially in CSS. So if I come down to this type of these things, I'm going to look at a few of these selectors. Okay? So a type selector is what we've been doing all along in CSS, where we write and we say, okay, EM, I want it to be a color blue. H2, I want it to be color blue, and so forth. And that means that any EM or any H2 will all have a font color of blue. Okay, so that's the typical type. Then from type, you can put up class selectors. So a class selector is, and we've talked about classes before, a class selector is simply, I say, okay, this paragraph I want to put the class big on, and that L1 I want to put the class big on. Okay? So what that means is that I will then go into my style and put point big up in my style, and that means that anything that has a class of big will follow that style. Okay, and they elaborate on that a little bit down below, where they show, and if I want to write, and we've talked about this too, so here's point big, which means that anything with the big class will follow that. I can also be very specific and say big that is in a division will be one thing, big that's in a TV will be another, and I can go back and just basically pick and say big with something in front of it only affects that type of thing. So p.big will only affect paragraphs. div.big will only affect divisions. Okay. And so I can set those up like that. And they point out that a class can also have more than one thing. So I can put on the class that it has this paragraph, this class is going to follow both big and indent. So I'm following two things. The only time I want to do that is when I have something that wants to follow both of them and something that wants to only follow one of them. So I can keep them separate. So I can say, this particular paragraph is only going to do big. This paragraph is going to do big and indent. This division is going to just do indent. And I can set them up that way. And it shows you can have multiple things. So H2 has got multiple things. And then I can have a side nav that goes with H2. Okay. So there's a variety of things that I can do. And then they point to an ID, and the ID down here is done with a number sign. Okay, so when I write it up, I say ID instead of saying class, I say ID equals, in this case, navigation. I don't know why they wouldn't show that. But I say ID equals navigation, and then in my CSS, I put number sign navigation. Okay. And they didn't do as good a job of showing that. The next one that I want to look at quickly is, should you use ID or class? Okay, and this is a comment about how I can do this and should I use ID or class. Classes can be used as many times as needed within a document. So a class can be used over and over again. A lot of things can have the class. An ID can only be applied once within a document. So what you see lots of times is when people set up the page, they use ID on the big picture. And they'll say, maybe they'll have a couple of paragraphs that they put inside a division or inside a section. That's another way you can break things down, is in it put paragraphs inside a division or inside what they call a section. And so if they have a big section for their page, they will tend to use an ID on that because there's only going to be that section that has that ID, so they're only using it once. So ID tends to be big picture, and class tends to be for the little individual things. And the second thing is that classes can have that combined, IDs can't. So why even bother with IDs? IDs have a higher specificity than classes, which means that if you run into a conflict, the ID is going to win. So if I want to have the ID win in a conflict where I've told it one color one place and one color a next, if I make one of them an ID, that's going to win. If I've got all classes, then usually the thing that's closest wins. But if you have an ID in a class, the ID is going to win. And those are the three kind of summary things that help. I find that I'm using classes most and only using IDs occasionally just because classes, to me, have more flexibility. Okay, there's three other things that I want to look at if I can find them. I think those are the three. No, these are the ones down here. Okay, a descendant selector. And to be honest, I have to look these up every time I want to do something. If I really want to do it, I have to go look them up. I don't remember these. I just tend to do things with classes and occasionally. So this is a... If I have a paragraph and an EM and I write them that way, if you use a descendant selector, you can, the rule below will only select EM elements that are descendants of a paragraph. Okay, so I'm only going to apply EM that's the descendant of a paragraph. And if the EM isn't descendant of a paragraph, I won't use it. And so that P space EM is used for, it's a descendant, it's an EM that's a descendant of a paragraph. Okay, so that EM is the descendant of the paragraph. Yeah?
Is EM the same as span?
EM is emphasis.
So like a bit bold or?
Yeah, and in fact EM makes it, does make it bold. If you look up EM in HTML, I guess. It renders emphasized text. And it's kind of like strong, apparently. But I always think of it as bold. So if I go in here,